Today we continue our Choose Your Own Adventure series, and you voted, we listened, and so today's sermon is going to be on Christian dating. How many of you excited for that? Come on, y'all voted for it. At least be excited for it. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today. Look to your other neighbor and say, I'm going to learn about dating today. Well, last week we talked about the beautiful gift of singleness. Been hearing so many great testimonies and reports from that message. Today we're going to talk about the next step if you want to move on from singleness to marriage. There's this little area called dating. And you know what I find? Dating is something we don't normally talk about in the church. I have never in my entire life heard a sermon about dating. And what I find is because we don't speak about certain things in church, we actually learn from culture, we learn from media, entertainment, we learn from our friends how we should be dating, how we should approach relationships. I remember when I was growing up, I was in fifth grade when I asked my first girl out, okay? Her name was Jill Anarico, beautiful Filipino girl at our elementary school. Actually, all my friends were, any Filipinos in the house? All my friends were Filipinos at the time, because I grew up in Daly City, amazing city. And I remember this girl, I really liked her. I thought she was amazing. You know, I wanted to be her boyfriend, all this stuff. And I had no idea how to approach this thing. And so I remember talking to my friends, and one of my friends, his name was Jerwin Bebe, a really unique name, also Filipino. Y'all have the best names. Jerwin came up to me, he's like, you know what? I've been saving this, Mickey. I have this stuffed animal. It's a white teddy bear, and he's holding a rose. And if you give this to her, like, it's just going to be sealed. You guys are going to be boyfriend and girlfriend. And so he gave me this teddy bear, and I'm like, okay. Like, I had no idea. I thought, like, in my mind, the way that it played out, I would give her this teddy bear, and then we'd walk away holding hands. That's just what I thought. And so I took this teddy bear, and you know, I asked Jerwin, should I give it to her during recess, during lunch? She's like, no, you actually shouldn't give it to her at all. You should leave it on her desk, and she'll know it's from you, because when she looks up, you're going to be across the room, and you're going to lock eyes with her. I didn't know anything, so I put it on her desk. You know, she came in from recess. She's like, oh, what's this? She looks up, and she's looking around the room, and she sees my eyes, and I'm just like a creep. I'm just like... And then she kind of like nervously laughs, but she just looks down. And that was the end of that. And so I was like, Jerwin, like, I don't think she got it, man. Like, what should I do? And so I was like, you know what, friends, you're no help. I'm going to look to TV. And so I remember I was watching a TV show at the time, and there's this one scene where this guy likes this girl. And the way that he kind of approached her was like this. He was like, hey, girl, I like you. You like me? And then she says, yes. And I thought, wow, that's really simple. Straightforward. And so I was like, you know what, Jill, I'm going to call her tonight, and that's the way I'm approach it. You know, that's the only way to go. And so I remember calling her, and I remember there was a party, you know, Filipino parties, they do it big, right? There's like 175 people at their house, and they're having a great time. It's loud in the background, and Jill picks up, hello? And I remember I was so nervous, and I was like, hey, Jill. She's like, oh, hey, Mickey, what's going on? And I remember I said, with as much confidence I could muster, which was not a lot at all, I was like, hey, Jill, I like you. Do you like me? And she heard that, and she said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you say that again? And I said, Jill, I like you. Do you like me? I swear to God, this is not an exaggeration. 5 minutes straight, she was saying, sorry, I can't hear you. Can you say that again? And my soul, every time I say it, part of me is dying. I like you. Do you like me? Can you say that again? I like you. Do you like... After 5 minutes, finally she said, oh, you know what? I really like you as a friend, but that's it. Okay, I got to go now. Bye. Click. You know, and I remember thinking, oh my God, I wish someone would have walked me through this thing. What does healthy dating look like? What does healthy relationship look like? And I believe it's something that we need to talk about in church, especially in our culture today. There's so much of media, entertainment, tech apps, everything telling us how we're to behave in relationships, how we should approach dating. And I believe that we need to get a godly perspective on this. But I also understand, I feel for pastors, because I was prepping for this sermon, and I found out that there are zero Bible verses in the Bible focused on dating. And so dating actually isn't biblical. I'm sorry, it's not biblical. The way they did it back in the day, you got arranged with someone and you ain't have a choice. Your parents chose your mate for you and you had to make it work, okay? How many of you want to go back to that? No, not me. Okay, so dating isn't found in the Bible. What I did find is there are principles that God teaches us, values that he wants us to adopt when it comes to approaching relationships. And so today, we're going to look at that. I'm going to draw from my own experience, but I just want to make it clear, there is no Bible verse about dating that you're going to find in the Bible. Paul did not write a chapter on swipe right for Jesus, nothing like that, okay? And so today, we're going to draw godly principles, learning about relationships, and also going to share from my life. And so there's 5 points that we want to get through today, but before we do, let's just pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that we get to talk about something fun and exciting today, something really relevant. Some of us really want a godly perspective on this thing called dating. And so, God, I pray that you would open up our hearts to receive your word. I pray that the word would go forth with clarity, that we'd have a good time. And we just thank you for what you're doing here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, there's 5 points that I want to make today, and I'm not going to go too long. The first one is this: how are we to date? What's a godly way to approach dating? And I think the first point that I want to make is this: date with purpose. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, date with purpose. Dating is not a destination, it's a pathway. In other words, it's not the end goal that if I can just get to dating. No, dating is meant to be a pathway that leads to one of two answers: I do or I don't, okay? And if dating is not a pathway, if it's just a destination where you're just chilling at, perched, ooh, dating, this feels like a good spot to perch and just chill at. No, it's meant to be a roadway to the answer: is this the person that I want to spend the rest of my life loving in a loving, committed marriage relationship? The question I want to ask you is this: are you dating with purpose? Are you dating intentionally, or are you dating aimlessly? Are you dating just for fun? Or maybe are you dating to fulfill an inner loneliness that you're feeling? Or are you dating with the understanding that this is meant to be a vehicle that takes me to an answer, yes or no, I do or I don't? I want to propose there's nothing more dangerous than dating without purpose, dating without intention, just letting dating happen in your life. There has to be a purpose. There has to be a vision. In fact, Proverbs 29:18 goes so far to say, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I think that applies in our dating lives. If we have no vision for where this is supposed to be heading, then you know what? We're going to engage in a lot of heartbreak, a lot of hurt, needless heartbreak and hurt. We have to have vision. We have to understand the purpose of what dating is. Dating is the vehicle that takes us from singleness to marriage. We have to have the end goal in mind. And I know that's scary to some of you because it sounds really extreme. You're saying that if I want to ask someone out on a date, I got to be thinking in the back of my mind, maybe this is going to lead to marriage. Maybe I'm going to be married sooner, maybe sooner than later. And I'm saying, yeah, you have to think about dating with marriage in the conversation. If you don't, I believe you're not dating with purpose. And for you, for some of you, if you're dating right now and you can't even entertain the thought of being married, if it's too daunting, some of y'all just need to take yourself off the market right now. I'm going to just be real. You need to take yourself off the market unless you understand that dating is supposed to serve a purpose. It's not a destination. It's a pathway. Now, I find in the church there's two groups of people that I always come across. Number one, people who take dating too lightly, and people who take dating way too seriously. And I feel like the majority of us here in this room are the latter group. For those of you who take dating too lightly, the thing that you need to understand is dating isn't just a game. Dating isn't just an app, even though it's on an app. Dating is not just something that's disconnected from human emotion, from consequences. Dating is more than just a good time. Sometimes it could be your good time at someone else's expense. Come on. I knew a friend a few years back, and I just asked, how are you doing? He's like, man, it's been so fun. I've just been seeing someone every week. I've just been dating here and there. Like, I'm having the best time of my life. I'm like, that sounds great. And he's saying, you know what, like, this is what's happening, and I noticed a pattern. I said, you know what, it sounds like you're having a good time, but it sounds like you're having a good time, but you're also leaving a trail of broken hearts along the way. Because why? You're treating dating like a game, like an activity, like something fun. No, you have to date with a purpose. Come on, some of you need to hear this. He might be fun for now, but is he good for later? Come on. Come on. Some of y'all need to hear that. Come on. She might be real fun right now, but is she someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with? Is there even an opportunity, a chance? And if there isn't, I want to tell you, you need to cut that off, okay? You need to cut that off. And so there's those who take dating too lightly, but I want to speak to the majority of you. I just sense it in the spirit that there's also this group of people that just take dating way too seriously. You know, I grew up in my era, there was this one book that was hot on the market. It was called I Kissed Dating Goodbye. How many of you read that book? And it's interesting. I thought I drew a lot of great principles from that book. But actually, recently, there's been a lot of backlash and criticism because of the fruit of people growing up with the teaching from that book, which basically, in my best understanding as I read it, it was very fear-based. Don't get into dating relationships. Don't even, you know, play around with that, because there's a great risk that you might get hurt, that you might compromise your purity, all this and that. And what had happened is there's been a generation that's grown up in church that were afraid to even just ask someone out on a date because of the fear of messing up someone's life and tainting your own purity. And actually recently the author actually released a statement saying, I actually apologize for some of the things that I said in that book. I see that some of the fruit has been damaging, especially in the church. So there's a group of people that I believe many of us, we take dating way too seriously. And we have to understand that asking someone out on a date is very different from saying, will you marry me? But I think a lot of us we attach the same weight of responsibility, the same weight as if we're asking someone to marry us, to be in a loving, committed relationship when we ask someone out on a date. I know for me, that was the biggest thing holding me back. I thought, I have to be sure if I ask this person out on a date that it's going to work out, right? How many of you have been there? I have to be sure before I move on with this person that at least we're going to be in a loving commitment. Like, I have to be sure. I have to know. There's this weight that we carry. And too many of us in the church have become afraid of trying to date because we've attached too much weight and significance to it. Can I just release y'all? It's okay to date and it not work out. That's the purpose of dating. It's okay for you to date this person and that person and not work out. Dating is meant to bring you to that yes or to that no. And some of you, I just want to release you. Some of you just need to ask that person out. Come on. I'm going to just be real. Some of you, you've been carrying emotions. You just need to ask that person out on a date, okay? And not just say, oh, can we just grab coffee? No, you just need to ask that person out on a date. Come on. I believe that God is telling us not to take dating too lightly, but not to take it too seriously, but date with the purpose. Understand that it's leading somewhere. And if you're not ready to go to that place, maybe you're not ready to date, okay? And so that's the first thing, date with purpose. Number two, date with clarity. Look to your neighbor, say, date with clarity. Matthew 5:37, very famous verse, let your yes be yes. And your no, no. I love this. I never read this before, this part. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Woo! Some of y'all need to hear that. I think one of the clearest marks of immaturity is ambiguity. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. Some of you know that person that's never in a committed relationship but is always talking to someone. Ooh! I felt conviction sweep across the room. Where, you know, I'm having fun just chatting it up. You know, we're talking into the AMs. We're past the PMs. We're talking into the AMs. But we've never sat down and said, let's be in a loving, committed relationship with one another, right? There's no clarity. And when you force people to read in between the lines, you're not dating with clarity. I need to speak to the men in the house. Some of y'all need to be a lot more clear. Some of y'all need to stop being so ambiguous and hiding behind your texts and just feeling out the atmosphere, just feeling it out. Like, am I going to get rejected? Oh, I might get rejected. Oh, my God. Okay. No, you need to be clear. Date with clarity. Let me say something here. If you're interested in someone, don't ask them to Bible study. Ask them out on a date. Come on, be clear. You don't need to sugarcoat it. Hey, I just want to spend time getting to know you as friends. No, ask someone out on a date. Date with clarity. Be clear about your intentions, and also along the way, be clear with where you're at. I talked to someone a few months back, and they were telling me about this person they were dating, saying, oh, we're on about the 10th date. I was like, oh, cool. Like, so are you guys like, you know, boyfriend and girlfriends? Like, yeah, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? I said, I don't know. Every time I bring it up, you know, this person keeps saying, oh, you know what? Labels are overrated. Labels are overrated. It's like, so where are you then? It's like, I don't know. And I believe that we have to be clear about where we're at. We have to be clear with where we're at. We have to be intentional about being clear. I feel like hurt and heartbreak and misunderstanding come in when there's no clarity. I believe it's a sign of immaturity and fear of commitment. But if you're ready, mature, I believe that clarity is the key. I know for Krista and I, it was the summer of love, y'all, 2014. We were talking, we were getting closest friends. But I knew there came a point where I knew my heart's boundaries were passing beyond just the friendship emotion and into a place where, man, I really love her. I really like her. And so I knew there was a moment where I had to say, you know what? I need to sit Krista down. I need to tell her exactly how I feel. So I remember I called her out to brunch one day, and I remember we hung out. And here's a tip. If you're going to share something like that, wait till the end of the meal, okay? Because if you do it in the beginning and it doesn't work out, like, you just put yourself in a very uncomfortable situation. So I remember we had a good catch-up time. We just ate the meal, and I was very upfront. I said, Krista, you know what? For the past few weeks, months, I feel like I've been feeling emotions and feelings more than just that of a friendship, and I want to pursue something deeper with you. So can I take you on a date next Saturday? And I knew in her heart, she was like, oh my God, yes. Like, she was so excited to say yes, but she was keeping it cool. She's like, yeah, okay, okay. But you know what? She told me later on, like, Mickey, I appreciate how clear you were, that there was no gray area. There was no blurred lines. You were very clear about how you felt, about where you wanted to head with me, and I appreciated that. And I believe we need to do that for one another, not just the men, but the women too. Come on, if you're not interested in someone, y'all need to hear this, be clear. If you ain't interested in that person that's been pursuing you, you need to be clear. Come on, that creep you think that just isn't getting the message just literally never got the message, okay? You're having them guess about where they're at. You know, life's just, sorry, I can't go on a date. Life's just too busy right now. Okay, you're really sweet. It's not you, it's just me. No, you need to be real. Sometimes the most loving and caring thing you could do is to be honest with the person. I'm sorry, I don't see you that way, and I don't see this happening. It sounds harsh, but sometimes it's the most loving, caring thing that you could do. So number one, date with purpose. Number two, date with clarity. Number three, ooh, y'all need to hear this. Date with boundaries. Look to your neighbor, say, date with boundaries. Ha! I feel the anointing today, church. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The problem is this. A lot of times, we start walking in the dark, and we don't surround ourselves with people that are going to pull us back into that light, the boundaries that we're talking about. How many of you know the battles are rarely won in the moment of conflict? Battles are won beforehand, in the quiet place, in the battlefield of your mind. I'm going to be completely real with you if that's okay. When Chris and I were dating, man, it was hard for us to keep our hands off each other. I'm going to just be real. I'm sorry. I just got to be real. We were completely over our head attracted to each other, and both of our love languages are touch, and so we knew that we had to set boundaries. But we knew in the heat of the moment, after a long day's work, we're just sitting together watching a movie on the bed, we knew that there's no chance in hell we're going to win this battle in that moment. We knew that we had to decide beforehand, these are the boundaries we're going to set so that when we get to that moment, we're going to overcome. And a lot of us try to fight the battles in that moment. And you're wondering why you're not winning, why in the heat of the moment that you can't overcome the boundaries and the values that you have. It's because you haven't made a decision beforehand. These are the boundaries I'm going to set, and I'm going to stick to them no matter what, okay? And so we have to learn to set the boundaries, the values that we want to live out in our dating relationship before we even go on that first date, before we're in that precarious situation where the lights are perfect and the music's playing. We have to put ourselves in a situation even before that moment where we're making a decision. These are our boundaries. These are our values. Let me say something, church. If you're not clear about where you stand with your values and your boundaries before you date, it's going to swing back and forth all over the place when you actually start caring for someone. You're going to start adopting their values. You have to know where you stand before you even go on that first date. Come on, if you're not sure if you want to save sex for marriage before you start dating, I guarantee you, you're going to give it up while you're dating. You have to make a decision before. Know your values, set your standards, and do not compromise. And church, you need to hear this. You need to draw your values for relationship from Scripture and not from scandal. Hallelujah. Come on. You need to draw your values for what values and standards you want to uphold, the boundaries that you want to set from Scripture. I believe Scripture is not just a prude killjoy. It gives us boundaries that help us have thriving relationships. I am so thankful that Krista and I saved ourselves for the marriage bed. We know those boundaries at the time seemed really harsh. You know, why can't we just do it right now? We know we're going to end up with each other. Why can't we just do it? But we are so thankful that we followed the boundaries set by Scripture, because on that day, after our wedding, in that marriage bed was one of the most beautiful moments both of us had ever experienced. Why? Because we were following the values and the boundaries set by Scripture. Know your values, set your standards, and don't compromise. I heard this analogy from this one preacher, Michael Todd, and I thought it was really great. You know, imagine that you're the CEO of your own company. And what you're going to do is, when you're trying to hire someone to join your team, you're going to go through a round of interviews, right? You're going to go through applications and see who meets the credentials. And then what you're going to do is you do that second in-person interview, right? And when you do that, you go through all the qualifications and you decide who's going to proceed from round one to round two. And I believe that second round of interviews is kind of like dating. And I think for a lot of us, we've let people into that second round of interviews that have no business being there. They don't meet the qualifications. They haven't met the standards. But we let them in because we're feeling lonely. Or we let them in because we're just trying to have fun. No, know your values, set your standards, and do not compromise. So number one, date with purpose. Number two, date with clarity. Number three, date with boundaries. Number four, date within community. Hallelujah. Come on, look to your neighbor. Community. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Church, hear me. Your relationship should be able to thrive in the context of your community. If your relationship exists in a vacuum outside of your community, outside of your close friends, outside of those you trust, I think something might be wrong. If you're trying to hide your relationship, that's even worse. Hide your relationships from your community, the people that you love and trust, there might be something wrong. See, we have to understand that your dating relationship is meant to lead to marriage, which actually is supposed to mirror Christ's relationship with the bride. And our dating relationship should reflect that. It should encourage people. It should edify people. It shouldn't give people a headache. It shouldn't give people concern. And I believe community is a great grid to see how healthy your relationship is. If your relationship can thrive in community, I think that's a great sign. I want to ask you seriously, what does your community think about your dating life? What does your community think about your relationship? I think it's important that we get that answer for ourselves. And I want to say this, don't surround yourself with people who agree with you. Surround yourself with people you trust. Some of y'all need to hear that. Come on, some of us just surround ourselves with people that agree with us. Come on, let's be real. And as soon as someone doesn't agree with us, all of a sudden, I don't trust you anymore. I'm gonna find someone that agrees with me. This is who I trust. No, I want you to ask yourself seriously, who are the people that I trust? That even if they're saying something that I disagree with, that I know that I could trust this person. If you're just surrounding yourself with yes men, that's a big no, no. I was trying to think of something witty to say. It didn't come up. In college, I did the exact opposite of what I was preaching. So many of my friends, before I got into my first relationship, said, no. In slow motion, no. And what I did is I blocked out their voices, and I found people that would affirm our relationship. And you know what? We got in that relationship, and let me tell you, it was Dante's Inferno. It was hell. It was spicy Cheetos. It was this very, very difficult relationship. And I wish I had listened to the voices that I trusted instead of listening to the voices that agreed with me. I do want to give this tip too. This is a freebie. Keep your circle small. And I think another thing that I realized dating, a lot of times, sometimes that dating relationship doesn't work out. But what we do is after we go on that first date, we post all over Instagram. We post all over Facebook, over Twitter. We're making the announcement at church. I just went on a date with this person. And what happens is when it doesn't work out, now you have 100,000 people that you got to explain to that it didn't work out. But also, I find that when we invite too many people into that circle before it gets too serious, all of a sudden we're hearing conflicting voices to our left and our right. We hear so many voices and we don't know what's right or what's wrong. Keep your circle small. And I'll say this, even when you go on your first few dates, don't tell your business to everyone, just with the few people that you trust, so that if it doesn't work out, you know, you have those voices that you trust to pour into you. Last thing I want to say about this, it's so beautiful to draw from the wells of experience in your community. You know, Kristen and I, the only reason why we're doing this well, I feel like we're doing it well, right? Like, I love our marriage. It's been really good, right? I agree. I feel like it's because in our community, we drew from wells of experience. We spent a lot of time with married couples, couples that had been married 3 years, 5 years, 30 years, and we just drew from the wells of experience. And I think we have a unique opportunity here in the body of Christ, here in our community, to draw from wells of experience, especially when it comes to dating and relationships. So we got dating with purpose. We got dating with clarity. We got dating with boundaries and dating within community. Last thing I want to say is this. Date with readiness. Date with readiness. Famous verse, Song of Solomon 8:4. Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. And I think kind of tying back to our message last week, I think a lot of us are eager to rush out of our season of singleness. What happens is we rush out of a season of singleness to try to date and try to approach marriage when God did not ordain you to leave that season of singleness yet. And we wonder why nothing's working out, why nothing is clicking. I want to ask you this. Are you rushing out of your season of singleness? Are you going into your season of dating too quickly or too soon? Out of fear, out of loneliness, out of lust? When you truly trust that God has the best for you, you can stop trying to make things happen for yourself in your own timing. You see, some of you are dating someone right now, and you're wondering, like, I just cannot figure out if this person is right for me. But maybe the question you need to be asking isn't, is this person right or wrong for me? Maybe the question you need to be asking is, am I right for right now? Is this the season that God has released me into to approach dating, to go towards marriage? And I think for some of you, the question you need to ask yourself is this, am I ready for marriage? And I think that's a real good question to ask yourself if you're in a season where you're approaching dating. Am I ready for marriage? And I'm going to give you the answer to that. No, you're never really ready for marriage. But I believe the difference between someone who says no and someone who says no, where it's okay in that season, is I feel a release that God is saying, you know what? I'm releasing you from your season of singleness to approach dating, to explore this realm, to explore this season, to see where it goes. Date with readiness. I know for me, when God released me into that season, I kind of shared a little bit last week, but for me, in that season, when God said, go for it, I knew I had to get myself ready. And so you know what? I was so bad with money growing up, but you know what? I started saving relentlessly during that season to get myself ready. I saved enough to buy an engagement ring, and I knew that was my goal. Before I ask anyone out on a date, I'm going to have enough in my savings account to at least purchase that ring. Just so I could tell myself, like not even to brag to that girl, but just to tell myself, I'm taking this serious. I'm ready. And you know what? I used that money, and it was not enough for an engagement ring. I had no idea how expensive it was. But you know what? I think it was a sign of my readiness. You start arranging your life differently when you know you're truly ready. You start getting things in order when you know you're truly ready. You start approaching even your living situation differently. Now my housemates aren't just housemates. Now they're practice. Woo! Come on. Wait, not in weird ways. I'm talking about, like, I'm going to be considerate around the house. I'm going to communicate well, okay? Okay, y'all got that. But there's ways that you orient your life differently when you're ready. When God's saying, you know what? I'm moving you on from this season, and you can start being active in this way. Come on. Brian's in the house. He works for Coffee Meets Bagel. He's repping his app. Come on. Let's give it up for Coffee Meets Bagel. Oh. I was joking with some people this week. I was like, I'm going to put a list of the top dating apps and do a holiness scale just to see. Tinder's at the top. Just kidding. You know, as we go through our culture of dating right now, you know, there's so much out there. I think it wouldn't help. It wouldn't hurt to slow down for a moment and really ask God, God, how are you in the midst of this? At the end of the day, I think even our season of dating, even our dating relationship is meant to glorify God. And if it isn't, I think we have to really ask ourselves, is this right? Is this the right season for me? Is this the right person for me? And so I want to encourage you with these five little tips. Number one, date with purpose, date with clarity, date with boundaries, date within community, and date with readiness. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I get so happy when I see people getting together in our community. It makes me so happy. I believe church should be the context where beautiful, thriving relationships can happen. And I just want to release y'all. You know, some of you came from backgrounds where it's not okay to approach someone in the congregation. But I think if you follow these guidelines, if your heart's in alignment with these values and these truths, I want to just release you to go for it. I want to see fruitfulness and thriving in our community. And so this is a word for someone in this house. I feel it. If you're on that edge, you're like, should I go for it or not? You need to go for it. I'm just telling you right now. And it might be a little uncomfortable. It might work out. It might not. But I think in this healthy context, I believe that we could see relationships thriving and start to happen. And so why don't we respond to this word? I want us to close our eyes. And I don't know if any of these points stuck out to you. I don't know if anything resonated with you more than the others, but I want you to just have an interaction with God and ask God, God, in this season, number one, is this a season where you're calling me to treasure my singleness? And if so, I'm not going to touch this. I'm going to wait. But if you're in a season where God's saying, you know what? Yeah, you've done singleness well. I feel like I want to release you to be active, to pursue dating relationships. That's you. I want you to ask God, God, what are you communicating to me right now? What are you highlighting about these points, these values, these standards that are found in your scripture? What are you calling me to really work on in this season? Come on, I just feel like a word for married couples too. I feel like your season of dating ain't over. Marriage is a continual season of dating, of pursuit, of love, of discovery. And I feel like for some of you married couples, I feel like God's inviting you back into that place, into that dating season. Come on, right now, just respond to God. God, what are you speaking to me right now? God, are you realigning my heart and my mind to begin dating with purpose? For me to happen to dating and not let dating happen to me. God, are you calling me to live with more clarity, to not be ambiguous anymore, but to date with clarity, to be honest about my intentions, about where I'm at? God, are you calling me to reevaluate my boundaries? Are there standards and values that I have not yet adopted in my heart that are going to lead me to a pathway of pain? Or are there things that I need to explore more about what your word says, about what you value, so that I can live a healthy and thriving relationship? For some of you, God, are you calling me to bring my relationship and submit it to the community? Are you calling me to wake up and actually surround myself with voices that I trust, not just those that agree. And lastly, God, am I ready? Not in the sense that I have everything together, but am I ready in the sense that you're releasing me right now to go after this thing? Am I ready to even start thinking about marriage? God, I thank you for the conviction that you're releasing across the room. I thank you for the revelation that you're releasing across this house. God, I just pray, I pray for a safe space in this community to explore this together. I pray we'd be a community that's not quick to judge, but quick to listen and understand, to empathize and to be there for one another. And God, I just pray that we would learn to do this thing right. Teach us to date in a healthy way, in a biblical way. Teach us to enter onto that pathway towards marriage with every step guided by your Holy Spirit. Once again, God, I pray over the married couples, even over Krista and myself. Come on, bring us back to that first love. Pray that this season would be marked with intentionality. That you'd rekindle flames just because we showed up with purpose and intentionality. We love you, God. We honor you. We thank you for what you're doing in this season. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.